Development Company, LP.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Dr. James D. Bartleben, CEO of Ivy Sys Technology. Good morning, James. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, John. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Well, every now and then, I get to have someone smart in the studio. I sure don't qualify. Oh. But if you get out your Google and you Google James D. Bartleben, you find out the guy's gone to Princeton, gone to Brown, he's got a PhD from Georgia Tech. I mean, the last I heard, they don't give those out to dummies. He's a pretty smart guy. He's got a great background. I thought we'd bring him in to talk about an unusual subject. I normally talk about, you know, software-based things and all kinds of different new technologies, but let's talk about applied technology. Take this big brain and apply it to saving lives or maybe reducing cost, and that's why I want to have James in the studio today. But first of all, tell us about your background. You got a lot of degrees, and you wind up working here with the federal government and helping people save money. Tell us about your background and why you wound up here, James.
Oh, well, thank you very much for asking. I'm an electrical and computer engineer. I have a PhD, like I said, from Georgia Tech. Went to Princeton and Brown University also, and have degrees in electrical and computer engineer from those schools too. After I finished my PhD, I started out on Wall Street developing global sales and trading systems. But then 9/11 happened, and I thought that I could do something a bit more important. And from there, I joined the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Lab, where I became the Special Operations Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance Program Manager, developing advanced technologies to help them have eyes and ears on targets from remote locations.
I think that's the key. It's applied.
Yes.
It's not theoretical. It's not pie in the sky. It's what can you do for me today?
Exactly.
And that's what your company, Ivy Sys, is all about. Listeners are sitting out there, well, IvySys.com, well, what can they do for me today? Well, they can do a whole lot. And tell us about some of the experiences. You've been in business about 4 or 5 years, James?
Yes. We started, I founded the company in 2005. We started full-time business operations in 2006. We started off as a really consulting firm providing subject matter expertise to DARPA. And there we provided expertise in things such as intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, networking. We served as experts in the areas of wireless communications. And then we actually grew into a technology development company. We actually started building the assets that we consulted about. And our focus now is really, we work as a intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, networking company from a high level. But now what we really focus on is automating the processing, exploitation, and dissemination of vast amounts of intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance data. We turn that into actionable intelligence for the warfighter who sits out in the field, such that they have very high priority. They can have eyes and ears on their targets from remote locations and have and maintain situation awareness.
Now, let me try to define this as a business problem.
Yes.
and apply it to various geographic locations. The business problem is just this tremendous amount of information is getting bombarded. If you look at YouTube, just this week, YouTube reaches 2 billion downloads every 24 hours. I mean, Facebook's got 400 million people. All of a sudden, people are talking about petabytes and terabytes. Yeah. And, well, geez, I have a hard time with one byte. I mean, that's difficult. And so a warfighter is in a situation where they're bombarded, maybe not with 40 billion or terabytes, but lots and lots of information. And if you have even 100 pieces of information, what's the important information that is actionable? That's the question that your company tries to help with, isn't it?
Yes, that's the key. The important thing to understand is that, yes, there are terabytes worth of data coming through every second. And this is what's coming at the analysts who actually have to analyze that data and process it into actionable intelligence and then disseminate that data to the actual warfighter who's out in the field or the border patrol agent who's out there watching our borders. that's the lone pole in the tent. You know, there's a manual piece in there. We're trying to automate that to allow them to filter out the noise that's in their background, and then let them see what is my actual threat environment look like.
You know, I think why not use a tool? Well, I had some storm damage in my backyard, and I rented a chainsaw. I mean, rather than use a handsaw, I use a chainsaw. The same thing is with information analysis, I think. I mean, if you can use a tool, why not? If you have to hire humans and train humans and have humans get sick and go on vacation, I mean, it makes more sense to automate some of this this filtering information that comes in. You may say maybe sifting or filtering the information that comes in, and that's what some of your software allows people to do. Is that right, James?
Exactly. I give you one great example. President Obama just, I think a couple of days ago, just announced that 1,200 new Border Patrol forces or National Coast Guard forces are going to protect our borders. Really what they're doing, and the caveat that you have to understand, is they're actually there not to guard the border, but to provide intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance support. Their primary mission is to really take all that data that's coming in, process it, and exploit it and send the actionable intelligence to the guys who are sitting actually at the border. 1,200 resources.
So many times the issue isn't gathering information. Yeah. Maybe there's tons to be gathered. The issue here is processing it in a timely fashion.
Yes, that's the key.
If you go to your website, ivysys.com, you find out something called NEOS. I thought it was an operating system.
Yes.
Well, it's not. It's a next generation exploitation optimization. There's the word optimization system. You know, which ball do you hit? The ball's coming at you. Which one do you hit? What's going to be a strike? What's going to be a ball? And so that's what your system allows: optimization of information that's being just bombarded to people.
That's the key. We call it NEOS. Stands for NEOS, the next generation exploitation optimization system. What we do is we have it's basically a distributed system that allows you to process the data in real time, filter out all those known signals that you know are that's in the background in your field of view, such that you only have the threat environment that's in front of you. So that's the only information that you send back for further processing. And then we try to exploit it. What does exploit mean? Detect the threat, classify it. What is it? Localize it, tell you where is that, and then track it. Such that the act, and then disseminate that data to the warfighter in real time so that they have a complete understanding of their environment.
You know, real time is so important. My son has a friend in Afghanistan right now. And if there's a threat, I don't want my son's friend to find out about it in a week or a day. Mm-hmm. I want it right now. I mean, I don't want the information to go from Afghanistan to Washington, back to Afghanistan, and then something bad happens. I want the person over there to get that information right now. I mean, that's the whole idea. I mean, what happens is humans filtering. Humans filtering means time delay is what it really means, doesn't it?
That's the key. And right now, if you look at how the current tools work, they present the information to the actual analyst, those humans, in a very technical manner. It's basically like these squiggly lines on a diagram.
Someone like you can understand it, but maybe normal humans like me can't.
I have a trouble even understanding it. But those analysts who are highly skilled can look at those squiggly lines and tell you what that particular target is. So what we try to do is we automate that and put it into an actionable format such that the actual warfighter can understand it. And it basically looks like a Google Maps type of display, such as anybody with icons that tells them what their threats are.
I have to take a quick break here. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about digital signal processing, a little bit about situational awareness, and informing warfighters of bad situations here in real time. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Dr. James D. Bard-Laban, who is the CEO of IVSys Technologies.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Dr. James D. Bard-Laban, who is the CEO of IVSys Technologies, talking about a practical topic today for a change, talking about applied physics of all things, applying digital signal processing to saving people's lives and saving money here in the home front as well. We talked about this storm of information that's just piling and piling and piling in. I talked about, you know, Facebook and YouTube, but information from sensors out there is drowning people at the Pentagon. I mean, drowning people are trying to just understand all this information. I mean, this is the big challenge, isn't it?
Yes, it's overwhelming right now. I think if you look at over the next 3 years, the amount of intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, sensor data, the capacity that's coming at the actual analyst that actually process that data and exploit it, it's going to actually outpace the number of analysts by a good 25 times.
Yeah. I work with a lot of software developers. They always have whiteboards, and they can't talk without a whiteboard, and they always draw things. And so if we were to draw, you know, a hockey stick of information coming in the next 5 years, even if we had tons and tons of bright, clear, secure people that could analyze the information, you could throw the people at it. It's going to outpace them, isn't it?
Yes. It's just, you know, right now we actually have sort of a saturation of data coming at them, and you know, really what has to happen, and then you have the human error as an aspect that comes into play too. So to actually attack that problem, you really need to automate that process. Not saying get rid of the analysts, but automate the tactical level such that these guys can operate at a higher level, allows them to connect those dots, allows them to determine patterns of life such that they can for the next terrorist threat.
Right. Take it up to the analysis level and not necessarily the filtering level. I have a friend who's a pilot, and he told me about the old style planes that he learned in and the newer style planes that he flies. A lot of the basic decisions are made, but you still have control over the analysis of the final product of what you're exactly doing. And I think that's what we're trying to do here, is just take all these sensors that are out in the field and put the information in one location, try to be able to make some sense from it quickly. I mean, this is the whole part. Now we get a lot of information, make sense of it quickly, and what's it worth? What if that's a $2 million solution? Well, maybe a $2 million solution, you know, is not feasible for some of our listeners. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the strengths of IVSys, is that you can do this with some off-the-shelf parts, huh?
Yes. The key is, you know, we really are sophisticated users of commercial off-the-shelf technology. We really follow it and try to determine, all right, how can the government or the Department of Defense, intelligence community, whatever, how can they leverage what's coming out of the commercial industry? One prime example is the video game industry. They've developed some very high-performance processors called graphics processing units that can do over a terabyte a second, tera operations per second of processing. How can we apply that to our problems? That's really what we focus on. Now, we're experts in digital signal processing and developing real-time signal processing algorithms. But we marry that with the high-performance processors that are out there that have mini cores or multi-core processors. And we map those algorithms optimally to those processors such that we can get the biggest bang for our buck at a low cost. So the types of processors that we use, we look at, you know, they're actually reducing costs by by a factor of four. So where other people are taking roughly 2 years to develop these systems, we're going at a pace of around 6 months, going from concept to prototype.
And why not? I mean, if it's if something is sitting on a shelf and it can be repurposed, well, why not? And I think that's the strength of applying physics or applying advanced mathematics. I mean, I think the engineers who are listening, you know, they have to go through a very difficult program, rigorous program of studying advanced math. And my son turns to me all the time and go, well, this is crazy. Why should I learn this stuff? But at the end of the road, you can apply some of this to taking off-the-shelf stuff and saving lives in a bad place like Afghanistan.
Exactly.
IVYSys.com. You can go there for more information. We're talking about applied research. You know, at your website, you talk about GPS-denied environments. Is that the bottom of the ocean? Is that what is a GPS-denied environment?
It means areas where your GPS receiver won't work. So that could mean underground in a tunnel. It could mean in a ship that's shielded in a building where you can't get access to a GPS satellite. So how do you know where you are, or how do you mark your location in those types of environments?
And then you have the challenge of a wireless environment as well, don't you?
Exactly. So, yeah, the wireless environment is actually, is very harsh. There's all kinds of what they call multipath, where your signal is bouncing back and forth. Your signals are shielded, so your GPS receiver doesn't have good line of sight to the satellites to get a fix on location. So we have technologies, or we developed technologies to allow you to actually penetrate their earth, you know, have communication signals that can get through these different environments, can deal with the multipath, and then get access to those satellites.
So the important acronym here is ISR, Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance. And but really the next step is what your company can provide too, which is decision support software. And I keep thinking of business intelligence and decision support software. It's got some parallels with malware and viruses. I mean, you have 5,000 viruses come in. Which ones are the ones to worry about? Which one of the attacking vectors are the ones to concern yourself with? And I think that's what some of your decision support software allows our listeners to accomplish is find out what to focus on.
That's the key. That's the key, John. Decision support software, really what we do is we determine anomalies in data. You know, typically, you know, there are typical ways that users or operators utilize their systems, typical environments. There's typical signals in your environment. You don't want to make a decision based off something that you know that's out there. We filter that information out and allow for basically the threat environment to come through. We filter out that broadband noise. We determine given that we got that out of the way, where are those signals or those threats that may have been hiding behind our known signals? And we go and we determine where are they? What are they? So we identify, we localize the threat, and we exploit that threat. We determine, what is it, where is it, and where is it going? And then we disseminate that data back to our users such that they can neutralize it.
So understanding the signals is one thing, but it requires deep domain knowledge to actually understand why one signal may be the anomaly. Hmm?
Exactly. Many times that requires training. It also requires a signature library such that you know what's out there. You surveyed your environment. You determined, all right, this is a television station. This is a radio station. I don't want to put that on my users in their decision support software. They don't need to see that. That's just going to cloud them with information that'll screw up their decision process.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Dr. James D. Bartleben, who's the CEO of IVSYS Technologies. More information at IVYSYS.com, talking about digital signal processing, which seems like something in an Ivy Tower. Some talk about mathematics and charts. And no. We're talking about saving lives, saving money, and getting things done quicker. All of a sudden, you take engineering, you apply it, it makes a whole lot of sense. We touched on this topic earlier, a lot of sensors. If you are in a war-fighting environment, there are sensors that are out there. And one challenge I think people would have would be take those sensors and get more out of them. And I think your system can allow that.
Yes, we have a system we talked about before called the Next Generation Exploitation Optimization System called NEOS. And as part of NEOS, that platform, we have what we call the Intelligence Processing Unit. Intelligence Processing Unit, or IPU, sits co-resident with the sensor on the actual sensor platform. What it does, it allows you to actually analyze the data, do pre-processing on it, filter out the noise, but most importantly, compress that data and allow you to send less data off the actual sensor platform back to some centralized facility that does more detailed exploitation on the data. The key there is that currently the communication pipes cannot handle all of the data that's being collected. So that actually, many times you may have to actually either fly those assets back to get the data off or just store them until you can actually physically pick them up. Or you exfil it at a very slow rate until, with much delay. So you really can't support real-time performance.
So how does that help a warfighter if there's a bit of perishable information or it's changing? You can't wait.
No, you can't. Not at all.
And so what your system can do is take existing sensors that are out there and amplify their capability and provide real-time information.
Exactly. Yes,
great. You know, I keep thinking of what we talked about earlier was gaming. And what gamers do is they take video information and they compress it and filter it. And the same thing with audio information. They compress it and filter it to give real-time game experiences.
Yes.
And so what you're saying is, thank you for that hard work over there. Yeah. We're going to take this and put it in Marine's back pocket and help him accomplish his task.
Exactly. I mean, there's significant investments gone on in, say, the gaming industry or even with the Intels with their new multi-core processing technology. These things allow you to do what they call parallel processing, processing multiple operations at the same time, simultaneously. It allows you to get better performance. It doesn't make sense for the Department of Defense or whoever to go build that stuff again themselves. So we try to leverage what's out there. And the map are, you know, those actual custom algorithms that support the actual warfighter's needs to these advanced platforms. So we can get basically a supercomputer in a very small box that can be co-resident with your sensors and allow you for some very basically real-time onboard processing.
My son had some friends over the house, and they're talking about water-cooled processors for really fast computers. And I said, well, what would you use this for, Kev? Well, we use it for gaming. And so some of the brightest minds are focusing in on how to get those games to 3D, get them realistic. Well, you know, let's take advantage of some of those real bright minds and repurpose it for the warfighter. I mean, taking the sensors are out there, repurpose them with giving them quicker information, taking that compression. I mean, I remember the early days of compression. It was kind of weak. I worked with an audio program called Kaboom back in 96, 97, only working on a Mac, and it was very, very weak compared to what we have today. It's fascinating how they've taken a lot of this information and for gamers or hobbyists, applying it in real-world situations like the screen I'm looking at right now.
Yes, exactly.
We just have a few minutes left. If people are listening, want to get more information, James, are there places to visit? I know your site, ivsys.com, has got for information. Are there any groups? Or I suppose you're in the position where you're listening to this show and you're trying to figure out, maybe I want to pursue this more, get some more information. Where would they go?
They can go to ivsys.com. We have a number of ways of contacting us from there. We've actually got a number of articles that have been written about our technology and things such as defense news or government security news that provides also an overview of what we've been working on. Yes.
You know, it's 3 or 4 years ago, the problem didn't exist. I mean, maybe didn't have as many sensors, maybe didn't have as much information. But all of a sudden, now we have broadband. The government has 1,600 data centers with all this information. All of a sudden, a problem that didn't exist 5 or 6 years ago exists now. And I think some of my listeners may start scratching their head and saying, well, I never thought of using existing sensors and repurposing them and putting them in different applications, which I think that being flexible and allowing different uses of existing technology, I mean, you're not going to have a choice. You can have to do something if this information explodes the way you predicted it.
Yeah, that's key. The key thing to understand here is that, you know, defense budgets are, you know, contracting now. So we really need to leverage what we already have. So what we try to do is focus on how can we make these existing sensors smarter? How can we make them better? How can we allow more data to get processed faster? And we can send actionable intelligence directly to the warfighter and provide for that tactical warfighter such that they can get the information that they need to provide them immediate situation awareness, give them a complete understanding of their environment such that they can go undetected if need be, or they at least know the threat environment in front of them to help save lives.
Well, great. We're happy to end the interview here now talking about digital signal processing, which sounds like some kind of a theoretical concept, and applying it to the warfighter, applying it to sensors in the field and analyzing information. It's been a pleasure having you today, James. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy. We just have to end our interview here with Dr. James D. Bartleben, who's the CEO of IVSys Technologies. For more information, go to ivsys.com. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, John. Appreciate being on your show.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
It's the only program of its kind in the world, a unique opportunity to help strengthen our country's defense and further your career. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. The only executive MBA degree tailored to developing leaders and managers in the U.S. defense industry. A unique combination of high-caliber executive business education, industry-specific knowledge, and hands-on learning designed to accelerate your career in the military, government, and corporate defense sectors. Offered by one of the country's leading business schools, according to a ranking by U.S. News & World Report. To learn more, visit som.gmu.edu/defense or call 703-993-4457. Do it today, because the last day to apply for the fall semester is June 20th. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University School of Management. Do it for yourself. Do it for your country.
Welcome to the Identification Technology and Citizen Privacy Panel, sponsored by Unisys. Today's experts in the field of identification credentialing will be discussing which technologies meet the needs of your citizens and the impact of these technologies.